What's going on, guys? This is Jamie Kane with Liberty Uninterrupted. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I couldn't be more excited to have you guys with me as always. Know that I appreciate y'all. It really means a lot that you guys tune in every week to hear this regular dude who isn't the smartest, the most articulate, or a scholar or a PhD talk about the issues that are facing our nation through the libertarian lens. And so I really do appreciate you guys giving some faith in me. I am somebody that genuinely cares. I am somebody that spends a good amount of time researching what I'm talking about and wanting to understand and know the opinions that I hold, not just speak opinions into a microphone and hopefully people will like them. My opinions, I try as best to make them factually correct, along with a little bit of emotion for myself. But all that to say is that I just want to show you guys and tell y'all how appreciative I am of you guys putting a little faith and trust in me to help bring this message to more Americans, and hopefully they're listening. So I don't have any announcements today. I would ask that you go to libertyuninterrupted.com, check out the official gear that we have there. By purchasing that gear, you're directly helping the podcast, directly, you know, sponsoring the podcast with your dollars, which I appreciate tremendously. Also, if you're listening to this on any podcast platform, please leave a 5-star review and rating. And also, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, 70% of listeners come from Apple Podcasts. And if you could leave 5-star reviews there, reviews really help boost the rating of the podcast. The goal is to get this podcast in the top 200 of political podcasts. That is the goal. So that's only I can't do that. I mean, bring the content, create the content, make the episodes, but I can't rate the podcast myself enough to make that happen or even once. So I'm asking you, everyone listening, if everyone listening to this podcast right now will go and leave pause the podcast and give a 5-star review, that will help tremendously. So thank you for that. All right, guys. So I guess I do have one announcement. So we switched things up a little bit. When I originally founded the podcast, the game plan was this. I was going to create a podcast that every single month there was a topic. And then every week we were going to break down that topic and dive into it in different facets of that topic, right? I've decided to change that. And the reason being is there's a lot going on in today's world. There's a lot happening that, especially in America, that just needs to be discussed, and I don't want to ignore it. And I have a lot of people reach out to me quite frequently over the DMs on Instagram asking my opinion on current events. And while I don't want to spend all my time on current events, because every political show and their brother spends time on that, what I've decided is I'm no longer going to do monthly topics. I'm simply going to talk about that what that week I feel needs to be talked about to progress the liberty movement. And so this week, it is current events. It's today's episode is going to be very data driven and talking about basically the coronavirus, quote unquote, pandemic and what it has done to America and its people and what it has done to the size of the state. And with all that being said, episodes moving forward, basically, I'm just going to talk about what I feel like needs to be said. So if it's history, principles, libertarian theory, current events, whatever it may be, that's what I'm going to talk about. And hopefully you guys embrace that. I had a lot of positive feedback when I announced that on the Instagram account just this week. And so that's the only announcement I really have. And I guess it is a pretty big one, but it's not going to affect the frequency of the episodes. It's not going to affect the style of how I publish or even how I go about things. It is simply the subject matter that will change week to week. So hopefully you guys embrace that, and I appreciate your support. So today's episode is entitled America, What Is It Going to Take? And I'm posing this question to 90% of Americans who are completely abiding by the state mandates, who are completely subjecting themselves to state control and not even questioning the motives of their government. And I have a lot of numbers here, a lot of facts that I'm going to go into, and I'm going to make it as entertaining as possible. So please don't tune out. But these, when I was compiling this at these show notes for this episode, it was baffling to me. And here's the deal. Most Americans do not know these numbers. Most Americans do not understand what is going on what has gone on for the past 12 months with the coronavirus and the COVID quote unquote 19 pandemic and what the state has done to seize more control. They don't understand what has happened. And my goal today is to break that down into three categories, basically. What I'm going to talk today about, the first I'm going to talk today about is the latest stimulus package. The second thing I'm going to talk about is what the state has done to the economy using the coronavirus as a using Corona as a guise of that they couldn't do anything else but do what they've done. I'm also going to talk about the general health of Americans outside of COVID. So I'm going to go ahead and dive right in and let's just go ahead and get started. So I'm talking about this is the most recent omnibus spending bill. It is called the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021. I'm going to have a lot of sources in the podcast notes, podcast description. So make sure to check that out as well. Everything I'm going to talk about today, I am sourcing. Okay. So this is what the taxpayer gets from this spending bill. And everybody has heard this, but I want to start off with this and then go into what is also in the spending bill. Okay. If you're ready, here we go. So it's a $2.3 trillion COVID-19 relief and government funding bill that includes $600 stimulus checks. Okay. It was a 5,600 page bill. 5,600 pages were in this bill. This was Trump's original statement when it came to this 5,600 page bill. I will sign the omnibus and COVID package with a strong message that makes clear to Congress that wasteful items need to be removed. So his thing was he wasn't going to sign the bill unless they increase the checks to 2,000 and decrease the spending, the wasteful spending in the bill. Obviously, I don't believe in stimulus package. The state just needed, if the state would have stayed out of this, we would have been fine. The government has really screwed over the American people, the American economy. And that is my opinion on that. But I have to say, I do respect Trump, his original statement for saying, look, I'm not going to sign this unless we raise the checks to 2,000 of their own damn money and then lower the wasteful spending. The problem is he caved like he's caved pretty much his entire presidency. He ended up signing it and the American people got $600 stimulus checks. Okay. So that authorized direct checks of $600 for people earning up to $75,000 per year. It decreases with higher earners, and then over 95,000 earners get nothing. Okay. The funny thing I think about this is they think $95,000 is a lot of money. And no doubt to the average American, it is a lot of money. $95,000 is really life-changing money to a lot of people in a year. But the crazy thing is that people earning that much are typically either self-made entrepreneurs or they're successful people that have worked their way up the corporate ladder, whatever it may be. And they're already paying into a higher tax bracket because of how much money they make. So they're paying a much higher tax bracket. They're receiving a lot less of their money. And the government has shut down their businesses, has shut down their places of work, gotten laid off. They've gotten furloughed because they're going off the previous year's income, right? And with all that being said, they're not getting checks because, oh, yeah, you make too much money. Well, not in reality, with the taxes that people pay, with this being measured by income of the previous year, these numbers aren't accurate. So those people making $95,000 might be making $15,000, might be making $30,000 now. We don't know. But because they have to report the previous year's income, they kind of get screwed over. So and then you get an additional $600 per child payment. So you individually, if you make less than $75,000, you get $600. And then if you have a kid, you get $600, excuse me, not $6,000. And then you get another check for $600 per child. Okay. That is what the taxpayer gets and a little bit of information about the bill in the beginning. Now, here's some fun facts I compiled. Trust me, they're not fun facts, but what else are you going to call them? Okay. Congress didn't read the bill. According to AP News, Congress did not read the $5,600 stimulus bill. They didn't read it. I wonder why, because it's 5,600 pages. Of course they didn't read it. No one's going to read it. And that's why they do it. They make these bills absolutely massive to put all the pork spending in it, to put all these bullshit expenditures in the bill. And of course, no one's going to read it. Even the freaking politicians that we unfortunately have elected didn't read the own bill. They took a leap of horrible faith and thinking, yeah, the bill's fine. Let's just go ahead and sign and pass it. I'm not going to read that thing. We just need to get, you know, they don't even understand. They don't even understand or comprehend what they've done because they didn't read it. They didn't. I guarantee you, most people in Congress, most of these idiots in Congress signed it with thinking, oh, I mean, I know there's expenditures in there, but you know, it's not that big a deal. We're going to make sure the American people are taken care of. Yeah, bullshit. Bullshit. The bill is not American stimulus package. It's not. It's a corporatism and foreign aid stimulus package. Showed by what I'm going to show next here. So this is going in. Oh, by the way, this is also the longest bill in U.S. history. How could we not make this thing? How could we not make this thing like 3 pages long and say, okay, every American is going to get $4,000 of their own money. Done. That's when we talk about a stimulus package, that's what it should be. I don't believe in stimulus package, but hell, if you're going to do it, give us back our own money and be done with it. I'm going to show you what's really astounding to me about this bill. There's a bunch of foreign aid that was given in it. A bunch of foreign aid. Here are the countries and the amount they received from the U.S. What's it entitled? The Consolidated Appropriations Act, the U.S. stimulus package to help stimulate the U.S. economy, to help the American citizens, right? That's what this bill is all about. Egypt received $1.3 billion. Sudan, Israel, and Ukraine each got over $500 million. Burma got $135 million. Cambodia got $85.5 million. Nepal, $130 million. And then we have, oh yeah, this is my favorite one, $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan. Because, you know, Pakistan is the gender equality capital of the world. $10 million to gender programs in Pakistan. How is any of that helping the American people? Here it is. The answer is it's not. It is not here helping the American people. These politicians do not give a damn about you. They gave you and me $600 of our own damn money. And then $1.3 billion, $500 million, $135 million, $8.5 million, $130 million, and $10 million went to different countries and gender programs in Pakistan. And yet, the state cares about you. The politicians care about you. They care about your livelihood. Joe Biden really cares. Kamala really cares. Nancy Pelosi really cares. Mitch McConnell really cares. Oh, my gosh, man. It's amazing to me because most Americans will never know this information. It's not, it took me literally an hour to compile this. That's it. It took me an hour of my time to find the information that I was looking for. It's not that hard to do. And most Americans will never see or know this information because they don't care. Either because they trust the government naively or they don't trust the government and they're just sheep and they're just going to follow no matter what it is. But the question to this podcast, once again, is America, what is it going to take for you to wake up and see that this whole thing is not about your health? It's not about keeping you safe. The coronavirus pandemic is not about anything but increasing state control. So what is it going to take for you to stand up a little bit, to grow a spine, to say it with your chest, as Kevin Hart would say, and say enough is enough? You're spending all of our money. You're shutting down our businesses. People are killing themselves. People are getting depressed, which I'll get into here in a minute. When is the American people going to say, we're done? You don't run this thing. We do. The American people do. So I'm going to fix this. My mic pop filter. There we go. This is our country. These are our livelihoods. This is our land. And I don't give a damn if you tell me I can't open my business. I don't give a damn if you tell me I have to wear a mask or get a vaccine. Okay? You're taking my money and sending $1.3 billion to Egypt of my money and giving me $600. Once again, of my own money. How are more people not absolutely? We rioted for months over the George Floyd thing, which I protests, absolutely. The protests I felt were very warranted. Now, I don't agree with all the talking points. I'm not a Black Lives Matter supporter, at least of the organization. The organization Black Lives Matter is a Marxist communist organization. The sentiment Black Lives Matter, of course, I believe in, but they've co-opted they've co-opted that sentiment. And so that's unfortunate. But anyways, we protested for months over that thing. And then the country rioted, burned down businesses, destroyed cities. Then some MAGA trolls and potentially Antifa members go into the Capitol and create some noise into a building that, frankly, we own. And that was domestic terrorism. Okay. How are not all sides of this, all individuals, all citizens marching in the streets over this shit? Where is the anger? Where is the frustration? Where are the people that are fed up like they were with the George Floyd or the MAGA people, talking about Trump? The funny thing is, when those protests and riots and the destruction, they were pointed in the wrong direction. The common enemy is the state. The funny thing is, those two sides are pointing fingers at each other. It's your fault. It's your fault. They're going after each other. They're going after one side of the aisle. The problem is that the common enemy is both sides of the aisle. It's the middle of the aisle. It is the aisle. And they don't understand that. I posted on my Instagram the day of the Capitol riots and protests. If only they didn't show up in their Trump hats and their MAGA gear and instead showed up and saying, we're fed up with the state. We're fed up with the government. I don't give a damn who the president is who's running the country, because it doesn't matter. You're all the same. And show them that we're not here to raise one politician up and tear others down. We're here to put you all in your place. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. We don't give a damn. We're here to put you back in your place and make you understand that we run this. This is our country. This is our land. These are our livelihood. This is our life. And you got the only thing you should be doing is protecting our natural rights. That's it. But you're stripping them away. So when is that going to happen? Okay, next section. Pork spending. $4 million for the Office of Ethics expenses. $4 million for the Office of Ethics expenses. $85 million for economic research services. Yeah, that's going swimmingly. $85 million for economic research services. I can tell you right now, I want to DuckDuckGo, because screw Google, and did an hour of research. I can tell you what our economy is looking like. Not good at all. It didn't take $85 million to figure that out. I'm telling you, and this money isn't going to what they're saying it's going to. I didn't go down and break down each thing because that would just take me forever. But I can guarantee you, not $85 million is going directly to studying the American economy. Trust me on that. $183 million for the National Agriculture Statistics Service. $60 million for the Risk Management Agency. All you can do is laugh, man. $21 million for the Central Utah Project, which is a U.S. federal water project that was authorized by the construction under the Colorado River Storage Project Act. I think back in the 50s. $21 million for a water project. Okay. $4 million for the Office of the President. Interesting. And who's going into the Office of the President? $14 million for the White House residence. Okay. What does any of this have to do with stimulating the economy? That's what a stimulus package is, to stimulate the economy and to, quote unquote, help the American people, help American businesses. What is any of this doing to help us? It's helping the state. They're using the coronavirus pandemic to talk people into letting them take their money, giving them a $600 paycheck, and putting more money in their pockets. They're using the pandemic as a disguise to put more money back into the state. Stimulus package, quote unquote. Okay. We're not done, not even close. $300 million to develop influenza vaccines and prevent a future influenza pandemic. $300 million to develop more vaccines. We see how well that's going with Pfizer, right? I mean, why don't we let the free market do its thing? But no, we can't do that. It's too difficult. $4 billion here, dude. Oh my gosh, guys. Oh man, I don't know if I can keep reading this. $4 billion for the Gates funded Gavi Foundation, which is a vaccine alliance funded by Bill and Melinda Gates. They're giving $4 billion to one. I think Elon Musk is the richest person now. I think it's Musk, Bezos, and Gates, if I'm not mistaken, which I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. He's the $1 billionaire I actually trust. I actually like Bezos and Gates can go to hell. But we're giving $4 billion to a foundation for vaccines, for a vaccine alliance, whatever the hell that means, to one of, and at one time, the world's richest man. $4 billion to a Gates-funded vaccine alliance. What, he doesn't have $4 billion? The dude has $4 billion. Let him fund his own damn vaccine alliance. I want nothing to do with it. So my money is going to the Gates, one of the Gates' foundations. Great. And your money. Even more money is going for funding for vaccine misinformation. The bill provides for public awareness campaign on the importance of vaccinations. Basically, your taxpaying dollars are going to a vaccine propaganda campaign. Okay, $1.4 billion for the Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, which is, I looked it up, a framework for the development of a long-term and comprehensive Indo-Pacific strategy by the Trump administration. $1.4 billion to the Asia Reassurance Initiative Act. What does it have to do with us? Our economy, you and me. What does that have to do with anything? It doesn't. It has nothing to do with stimulus, with stimulating the economy. Also, another fun fact here that was included in the bill, you can't forget this one, was stream copyrighted content without permission. You're now a federal felon, punishable by jail time, up to 3 years, fines, and losing your right to vote and own a firearm by copyright, by downloading copyrighted content. Streaming copyrighted content like Netflix and stuff like that, Hulu. They're just going to go and throw that in there. They're just going to go and throw another law in the books that's going to make you a federal felon over if you tape some Netflix, man. They're just going to throw it into the stimulus package. Just why not? You know, it's $5,600 bill. If it's a 5,600 page bill, why not? Let's just throw everything in there. Let's just throw it all in there. Let's go ahead and throw our socialist agenda. Let's go ahead and just throw the Green New Deal in there. Why not? You know, 5,600. Let's just make it 5,700 pages and call it good. All right. Last thing on this, on the fun facts section here. $18 million for the Office of National Drug Control Policy. So the endless and ridiculous war on drugs will be continued by $18 million for the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Sweet. Awesome. Now let me double check something. Google something real fast. Not Google, DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo and Brave Browser. Yeah. So it says I just want to make sure I was right about what the Office of National Drug Control Policy is. So it says the ONDCP is a component of the executive office. Why is it under the executive branch of the president, which works to reduce drug use and its consequences? Yeah. By making 17-year-olds felons or criminals for the rest of their life for having a joint on their possession. Yeah, you're really helping us there with that, with the $18 million. It's going to go to a really good cause. Okay. So that was all the fun facts, the foreign aid, and what you're getting. Once again, I'm going to ask the American people and anybody that's listening to this that doesn't agree with me, which I hope there are plenty of y'all there. What is it going to take to wake us up? What's it going to take to say enough is enough? Is that enough? Is everything I just went through enough? The billions upon billions of dollars in spending with to foreign aid, to government agencies, to line the pockets of politicians and special interest groups. Is that going to wake you up? Is there any part of that that's gonna, that you're going to take a step back and say, oh, you know what, mate? That's actually, I don't agree with any of that. That's not cool, man. Maybe the government doesn't care about me. Maybe this isn't about helping me. This isn't about keeping me safe or healthy or my family or helping my community. Maybe this is about government control. Maybe this is about increasing the scope and size of the state. Maybe this is about limiting my individual freedom and see how far they can take it before I stop following, if I ever stop following, which most people won't. Now, let's see what the state has done to the economy under the name of protecting the public from the coronavirus. Nearly 60% of businesses that closed nationwide during the COVID-19 quote-unquote pandemic are never reopening. 60% of businesses that closed nationwide that are the backbone of our economy, that are backbone of the of your local economy, will never reopen. Small business revenue decreased nationally by over 32%, according to CNBC. 32% of small business revenue decreased. Payroll provider ADP reported nearly 20 million jobs were lost at U.S. companies, more than half at businesses employing under 500. So more than half of those 20 million jobs lost were from small businesses, and 60% of those small businesses will never reopen. But the stimulus, it's necessary. It's necessary that we shut down the economy for the health of the public. It's for the common good that 60% of businesses lose their livelihood, that people work their entire lives to build a business will never reopen doors, or that 32% of revenue decreased, so you had to lay off 20 million people. But don't worry, we're sending the stimulus package to stimulate the economy. We're sending, what is it, $2.3 trillion to help. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Because we're sending $1.3 billion to Egypt. And we're also giving $10 million to gender studies in Pakistan. And oh, don't forget that the Office of Risk Management is getting $60 million. Oh, sorry, wait, the Economic Research Service is $85 million, which are not going to be put towards economic research. Also, $1.4 billion for some Asia Reassurance Act. And also, we're going to also make it illegal. We're also going to make you a federal felon if you stream some Netflix and record it or whatever the hell it is. Oh, also $4 million for the Office of the President. But then we're going to give you $600 so you can help stimulate the economy. And that's all your money. I can't express to you how upsetting this is to me. I can't express to you because I come from a family of small business owners. My father, several of my uncles, my grandfather, all owned small businesses. All of them. They're all entrepreneurs. Every single one of them. I still have family that own restaurants in Virginia. And the state doesn't care that they're losing 32% of the revenue, that they're having to lay people off, that they might have to close doors forever and ever. It makes me upset because I know how much work and effort it takes to open a small business. I've seen it firsthand. I know what it takes to employ others, to make it work. And even after you open your small business, I know what it takes to keep it open, to keep it thriving. I've seen it, and it's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's one of the hardest things that you can do. And the funny thing is that the government doesn't make it any easier on you. There are so many barriers for small business owners to just open the doors and to stay open. So now on top of all that, on top of all the barriers that they put in place to keep small business owners down and then complain about corporatism, complain about the Amazon, all you freaking leftists out there, complain about, you know, Elon and Bezos and Gates and all these billionaires. Meanwhile, you're cheering for the state that is keeping your local economy, your local business owners down. That's making it almost impossible for them to succeed. You don't see that. And so it infuriates me because I know how much work it takes. There's so many policies keeping small business owners from growing, from succeeding. And on top of that, for our safety, quote unquote, they're going to enforce lockdowns. And if you open your business, they're going to find you time and time again. There's a business owner and a gym owner in New Jersey. I think his name is Ian Smith. If you're familiar with him, he's gotten pretty big. I think he's facing up to 10 years and $160,000 in fines. And I just found out the New Jersey governor took all their money out of their bank account. So they have no money to help fight the legal battle against this tyrannical governor. I mean, I just don't know. I could stop here and ask again, what is it going to take for people to wake up to see that the state is not your friend, that they're not helping us? Because here's the facts. I'm presenting the facts to you. I got from CNBC. What else I got? I got Time. I got the Liberty Herald in here. I got AP News. I got the New York Post. I have sources in here. These are facts. These numbers are legitimate. And most Americans don't know them and don't care to know them. They're sheep and they're blindly following. They're not questioning where their money's going. They're not questioning why small businesses are being shut down by force and fined if they open their doors to try to feed their families, to try to take care of the customers, to try to take care of their employees. It doesn't matter to most people, especially those who have kept their jobs or able to work from home. Okay, I'm self-employed. Okay, like it's been a struggle. There's no doubt about that. And it's a hard pill to swallow because no matter what we try to do, the state keeps saying, we're doing this to help you. We're doing this to help your community, to help the nation. And 90% of Americans are buying into that freaking propaganda and they're getting pissed at business owners and people in the general population that are trying to open up their businesses who decide not to wear a mask because the science doesn't point to it. And that's another thing. What's it going to take for you to wake up when Fauci and the CDC and the WHO have time and time again said masks don't work, that lockdowns aren't feasible, that don't work, and then only to recant that, realizing the state control that they could receive by saying the opposite? And now if you question your government, if you question the state, if you question any of this, you're InfoWars junkie, you're an Alex junkie, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're an idiot. You're for even questioning the motives behind the state's policies. I just don't understand it. Okay, last section here is the health section. Okay, and I'm talking about coronavirus. Okay, we know the numbers on coronavirus. I've discussed that in the past. This is about other issues that have happened because of the lockdown, because of the state's response to this joke of a pandemic. Researchers surveyed almost 1,500 American adults about their mental health from March to April of 2020. They found that depression rates rose about 28%. Depression rates rose 28%. This is according to Time magazine. U.S. mortality rate is forecast to increase 3%, while life expectancy will drop 0.5% over the next 15 years, representing 890,000 more American deaths, according to a working paper from researchers at Duke, Harvard, and Johns Hopkins universities. So life expectancy, not because of corona, this is not because of COVID. What I just read, this is because of the lockdowns, the economic ramifications, the recession, the depression rates, the anxiety spikes, all of that. Mortality is said to increase 3% in the next 15 years. And life expectancy is dropping by 0.5%. Okay. Over a 20-year period, that amounts to 1.37 million additional deaths. 1.3 million additional deaths. Deaths by suicide and overdose increased as much as 60% in the U.S. amid the pandemic and recession, according to a research paper from University of Chicago professor Casey Mulligan. Deaths by suicide and overdose increased as much as 60% in the U.S. These are the numbers we're not talking about. Depression, anxiety increasing by 28 to 30%. Life expectancy in the next 15 years is dropping 0.5%. The mortality rate is increasing 3%. Over 20 years, that's 1.37 million additional deaths, not due to the coronavirus, but due to the state's response to this ridiculous, ridiculous virus. Let's see. I'm looking up the COVID mortality rate as of, let's see, I'm going to say past week. This is from the New York Times, so let's see. It says 400 million Americans have died. No, not 400 million, excuse me. Wow, I'm just talking about too many millions and all this information. 400,000, excuse me. I'll go and copy that link and throw it in the podcast description as well. 400,000 have died. 400,000 too many. 400,000 Americans have died, according to the New York Times, of coronavirus. Now, we don't know those exact numbers because, once again, as I've said in the past, that hospitals are reporting these numbers very fictitiously. They, you know, car crashes, overdoses, suicide. So if they have COVID, they're reporting it as a COVID death because that increases federal funding. That has long been discussed. That has long been known since the start of this. Since about 2 months into this pandemic, we have known that. So that number is very misleading. I did an episode a couple of weeks ago actually talking about that. I think the number was like the actual like pure COVID death number was, I think, 170,000, 200,000, somewhere around there. But over a 20-year period, 1.3 million are going to die. So let me see this. So 400. So let's say 100,000 of the pure coronavirus deaths times. I'm doing some real quick math here. So, so 200,000 times. What is it? 20. Yeah. Yeah. So it's saying that 4 million would die in 20 years over the coronavirus pandemic, quote unquote. But they've also found that, and this is kind of a little off subject, but I want to say this, that, go figure, herd immunity would have the same effect on immunity in general in the public as getting the vaccine. But no one's talking about that. So if we had just practiced the herd immunity theory, we would be over with this by now. And we wouldn't need this damn vaccine that's paralyzing people's faces. Just stating facts here. So all this to be said, guys, and I'm gonna put these show notes in on a blog post on the website, so you can go read it there if you want to. I'll do that as soon as this podcast is live. But I just want to say this, that it is our job to educate people, and I don't mean being like a jerk. I don't mean, you know, being super loud and being like the MAGA trolls or the leftists or AOC or whatever. It is simply our job to know the facts. And when presented with false narratives, correct those false narratives. It is our job to educate ourselves and to know these numbers, not to hide from them. It is our job to make sure that the state and the government don't continue to lie to the American people without recourse, without at least someone standing up and saying, this just isn't factually correct, which everything that comes from the state obviously is untrue. Everything. That's our job, guys. That's the fight we're in. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do the best I can with this thing, man. I really am. So, all right, y'all. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you tuning in. Don't let this get you down. Use this as motivation to help further the movement of liberty. And remember that we, the people, run this.